Good morning. Okay. Today's scripture reading is from Luke 19, 1 through 10, found on page 1496 in your pew Bible. Bless God's holy word. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man, too, is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You know, we were made for mission, and this sermon is going to have three parts: Zacchaeus' purpose, Jesus' purpose, and our purpose. But before we dig into those three purposes, let's go into a brief introduction. And on the screen there, you see a map of the Holy Land, and towards the bottom there is the Dead Sea, and just north of it is the Jordan River flowing from the Sea of Galilee down to the Dead Sea, and Jericho right there in the Jordan River Valley, and Jerusalem over to the left, which I think would be west. Does that sound right? Towards the Mediterranean Sea? Anyway, those of you that know your geography a little bit know that where the Dead Sea is and the Jordan River is one of the lowest places on earth. In fact, I think it is the lowest place on earth. So Jericho sits at about 900 feet below sea level. But Jerusalem is on Mount Zion, which is up on the heights, and that's about 2,500 feet above sea level. So even though these two towns are only 17 miles apart, it's a big climb of over half a mile in elevation, and it's a rocky, winding road from Jericho to Jerusalem. And Jesus is going to head up the path to go to Jerusalem because that's his destiny. But before he goes to Jerusalem, he stops for a while at the house of a notorious man in Jericho. He stops for a while there. And now Jericho was also called the City of Palms. Even since long ago, thousands of years ago in the time of Moses, Jericho was known as the City of Palms because, like Florida, there's a whole lot of palm trees there. And it's possible that some of the pilgrims that were traveling with Jesus from Jericho up to Jerusalem took some of those palm branches and used those palm branches found in Jericho for Palm Sunday the following week. We don't know that for sure, but there's got to be a reason why they call it Palm Sunday, and perhaps it's linked to Jericho, the City of Palms. When Jesus was going to Jerusalem, he was a man on a mission. But he did not allow that to deter him from stopping and meeting a man, meeting someone in Jericho. But it wasn't just any man, he was notorious. Not really famous, but infamous. His name was Zacchaeus, and the locals hated his guts. He wasn't just a tax man, but a chief tax collector who was extremely wealthy. Now, I know the tax deadline's coming up soon, but this wasn't the IRS. This was the JRS, Jericho Revenue Service. And all taxes went to Rome, the powerful empire occupying Israel. And Zacchaeus had conveniently aligned himself with Rome. He sold out for the cash. If he wore an overcoat, it would be a red coat because he was the Benedict Arnold of his day, a traitor to the national cause. And besides providing financial backing for the Roman political and military machine, Zacchaeus kept some of the money for himself. Well, that's not really true. He didn't just keep a few coins. He padded his pockets with it and became filthy rich. Instead of stealing from the rich to give to the poor, he did a reverse Robin Hood. He stole from the poor to make himself rich. Most of the townsfolk wanted nothing to do with this guy. Socially, he was known for exploitation and oppression. Religiously, he was known as unclean because he associated with Gentiles, Roman officials, Roman administrators, and Roman soldiers. He rubbed shoulders with the wrong sorts of folk. But on the day Jesus came to town, Zacchaeus was a person of purpose. What was his purpose? He was determined to see Jesus with his own eyes. He had heard about his ministry. He had heard about his miracles. He had heard about his message. And he wanted to put his eyes on the great rabbi. Why? Why did he want to see Jesus? Perhaps there was a void in his life. Perhaps there was something missing. Perhaps the riches of his bank account and the prestige of his occupation failed to satisfy. Maybe he felt excluded from the community and marginalized from his fellow Israelites. Not a good feeling for sure. So he scurried down to the parade route where Jesus and his disciples would pass by. But like a lot of parades, like a lot of rallies, like a lot of groups, he wasn't the only one with that idea. There was a great crowd. So great, in fact, that he couldn't see past them all. Trouble was, he couldn't see due to his small stature. He wasn't very tall at all. He would not have qualified for the Duke basketball team. Now, Duke's basketball team, even though they lost last night, averaged 6'8" in height. That goes from guards that were 6'6" up to a tall center that was 7'2". 6'8 was their average height. That was well above Zacchaeus' height. He was probably 5'0". He sure couldn't dunk the basketball. In fact, when he jumped, he could barely touch the bottom of the net. But Zacchaeus really wanted, no, he needed to see Jesus. But because he was vertically challenged, he couldn't see over the taller townspeople. And do you think they'd step aside to give this turncoat a better view? Do you think they'd make room for a traitor? No way. Zacchaeus was all on his own. This was his predicament. So what did he do? Did he give up and just go home? No. No way. Not at all. Instead, he was a man with a plan. He said, light bulbs went off in his head, and he said, I got an idea. What I'm going to do is I'm going to run ahead of the parade route, and I'm going to climb up a tree, and from that height on the tree, I'll be able to see Jesus. It was quite a plan. But you know what? There's more to this story. Noblemen in Israel didn't run. Noblemen in Israel didn't climb trees. But he was determined. He was desperate. He was breaking all the rules just to lay some eyes on Jesus, the rabbi from the north. So he climbed up a tree, and he sure didn't care because he was a person of purpose, a man on a mission. It reminds me of a Sunday school song I heard years ago. Maybe you know of it. It goes like this. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree, the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. I'm going to your house to stay. Have you ever heard that song? I heard it when I was knee-high to a grasshopper. Twice the Bible passage addresses Zac's purpose. He wanted to see Jesus. Verse 3, he wanted to see who Jesus was. Verse 4, he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was passing by that way. We don't really know the extent of his motivation. Did he truly want to draw closer to Jesus and develop an intimate relationship with him? Or was his desire just to lay eyes on the famous rabbi? Was curiosity his primary motive? Did he merely want to observe Jesus from a distance, like the choir out there at the back of the church? Did he just want to, like, lay eyes on Jesus from a couple hundred yards away? Well, Jesus would have none of that. He saw Zacchaeus up in that tree, and he knew him. He knew him. He knew his name. And he called him by name, speaking with supreme authority and great conviction. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Now, the word must here comes from the Greek word dei, D-E-I. And the Greek word dei indicates divine destiny or divine purpose, because he must go to see Zacchaeus because it was part of God's will. It was part of God's plan. It was divine necessity. He needed to see Zacchaeus. Now, as I mentioned earlier, Jesus was striding with every step towards Jerusalem. Jerusalem was his destiny, and we can see that right here in front of the church, where he would go to die, where he would go to be crucified for the sins of many. But Jesus, you got to remember this. There's billions of people in the world, but he died for you. There's billions of the people in the world, but he died for you. There's billions of the people in the world, but he died for me. He never neglects the many for the sake of the one. In fact, it reminds me of last week when Lynn was preaching on the prodigal son. And if you page through your Bibles to Luke 15, there's not one, not two, but three parables of the lost there. There's the lost son that Lynn preached from. There's the lost coin about a widow who had 10 coins and searched for one that was missing. And there's also the parable of the good shepherd. He had 100 sheep, and 99 were in the fold, but one wandered off. Did he stay with the 99? No, he went after and pursued the one lost sheep. You know why? Because he never neglects the many to pursue the one. He always does what he's called to do. And he was called to look after that one lost sheep, Zacchaeus. He wanted to find him. And find him, Jesus did. When Jesus called his invitation to this little guy perched on a branch, Zacchaeus scurried right down. In fact, he quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house with great excitement and joy. Now, you have to remember, in those days, hospitality was part of the culture. And Zacchaeus was being hospitable to the Lord. But it was definitely not a popular choice. The people were disgusted. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Why couldn't Jesus pick out a poor widow instead? Why couldn't Jesus pick out someone that was more deserving? But Jesus didn't come to earth to score high on some opinion poll. He came to earth to follow God's will and God's ways. His main motivation was to bring salvation to people like Zacchaeus, who were lost in sin. His primary purpose is made clear in verse 10, a verse which many, including my seminary professor and author, Michael Williams, said is the theme verse of the entire book of Luke. Luke 19, verse 10 goes like this: For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That's the theme of the whole gospel. Repeat after me. The Son of Man,
Son of Man came
to seek and to save,
the lost.
Amen. Isn't that beautiful? He's not going to just focus on the many. He's not going to neglect the one. He's going to go after this person named Zacchaeus. But as you can tell, his salvation was more than just up in his head. It was more than a mere individual exercise. No, it affected his relationships and also the way he spent his money. Jesus said, "Today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham." By house, Jesus meant household. In other words, salvation was not just for this one guy. It was for his whole family. And it wasn't just for his family, it was for his household servants as well, because he was quite wealthy. By naming him a son of Abraham, Jesus said that his allegiance with Rome did not disqualify him from being a true Israelite and part of God's family. Salvation changed Zacchaeus dramatically. He promised to bring about restitution for any of his corruption. First, he promised the Lord Jesus, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor." Secondly, he added this additional promise, "Lord, if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Not double, not triple, but quadruple the amount. That was the full extent of the Old Testament law. If you've done injustice, if you've defrauded someone, if you've corrupted someone, you weren't just supposed to pay them back. Zacchaeus said, "I'm going to pay them back four times the amount that I've white-collar stolen from them." God was making claims on his pocketbook. Zacchaeus was going to great lengths to prove that his salvation was the real deal. But be aware that his actions did not save him. His actions were merely an outflow of his salvation. Like Zacchaeus, we are saved by God's grace alone. Doing good works like paying back or giving to the poor is merely saying thanks to God for our salvation. Regardless, his actions were critical as an active response to the grace of God. On that day, 2,000 years ago in Jericho, he had a life-changing encounter with Jesus, and that made all the difference in the world. Lord willing, you too have experienced a life-changing encounter with Jesus. And if not, I pray that God gets a hold of you sooner rather than later. It'll make all the difference in your world. We sometimes mistakenly believe that we're the ones seeking after God. But you know what? God is seeking after you. God is pursuing you. The tables are turned. He's the one that pursues us with purpose. And there's an old hymn that captures the essence of it all. Allow me to review the song lyrics. "I sought the Lord, and afterward I knew. He moved my soul to seek him, seeking me. It was not I that found, O Savior, true. No, I was found. I was found of thee." Maybe you have a story in your life where God found you, where you were running from God at high speed, but God got a hold of you, God pursued you, and God found you. Without a doubt, Jesus found Zacchaeus, and there's no doubt that the Lord took a hold of him. But what can we learn from this man? What's in it for us? Like the Bible story in which Jesus turned Zacchaeus' life around, so also Jesus turns our lives right around. Jesus invites himself into your heart today. Jesus invites himself into your house today, so he becomes not only the Savior of your soul, but the Lord of your life. He doesn't just save you from your old way of life, but saves you to a new way of life. And most likely the new way of life will resemble the radical transformation experienced by Zacchaeus. Jesus changed him from a greedy, selfish scoundrel into a person of radical generosity. He said he would give half his possessions to the poor. If he was a millionaire, that meant $500,000. Can you imagine? He was going to take his whole income. Now, I'm not sure he kept his promise or not, but it's in our Bibles, so I assume he did. Half his possessions and give them to the poor. Wow. I pray that you have half the generosity of Zacchaeus, and that God gets a hold of you and makes you generous too. May you be so generous. May the Spirit inspire you to help the hurting, help the hopeless, help the hungry. May the Spirit open up your purse to purchase enough spaghetti and tomato sauce for your family and the families who come to Mission Share. May the Spirit open up your wallet to buy enough chunky soup and chili to feed yourself and also the folks that go to the Greece ecumenical food shelf. Zacchaeus promised fourfold restitution to those he defrauded. We too may need to right previous wrongs or correct previous injustice. Those of you who are familiar with the 12-step recovery program come face to face with this challenge when they approach step number 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and become willing to make amends to them all. Is the Spirit moving you to make amends? Is it even on your radar? Overall, Jesus is teaching us to embrace his mission, to seek and to save the lost. By doing so, we seek to meet the physical and the spiritual needs of a hungry, hurting world. Let's face it, people. Our world needs Jesus. And we can't help everybody without first helping somebody. We have limits. We're unable to reach everybody everywhere, but we can reach somebody somewhere. So I encourage you to permit the Spirit to work in you and through you, since you are people with a purpose. You are made for mission. And here are two ways that you can put this in motion: share and invite. Number one, share. Share your story and look for opportunities to give your personal testimony. Here's how Jesus changed my life. He can change your life too. Or invite. Invite people to come join us here at Lakeview. Holy Week is coming up. Invite some friends to come to the Palm Sunday service. Invite a neighbor to come to the Maundy Thursday service. Invite some family members to come to the Easter service. May the Spirit prompt them to say yes to your invite so they can hear the gospel. In his great love, Jesus came to seek and to save them. And by the Holy Spirit, may the mission of Jesus become our mission to seek and to save what was lost. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people say, amen. Let's pray.